This, I think probably Pastor Greg will mention this tonight, but this particular book we just got in by Doug Jones, Understanding the Healing Power of God. So I'll just make that announcement here. It's available in the bookstore. The price is $9.50, and you know, you've been hearing me mention he gets into, I'll just read here before we start, he gets into some topics in here, but these particular topics are, man, I encourage you to get this. He said, law number one, just because, and I'm reading, these are the chapters, some of the chapters. Law number one, just because the healing power of God is present does not guarantee you will be healed. Just because it's present does not guarantee that you will be healed. Law number two, the power of the Lord can be present to heal and your senses totally unaware of it. Law number three, and you can see this, we'll go over it tonight, I believe it's Mark 9, didn't it say that there were Pharisees and Sadducees seated with Jesus? And what does it say? The power of the Lord was present to heal. That word power is dunamis. So that means the explosive power of God was present to heal. They didn't, in other words, their senses were unaware of it. Didn't benefit them. So we have scripture and examples in scripture. So that's really what he brings out. Law number three. In order to benefit from the healing power, you must first believe that the power is present. Law number four. There are two ways the power of God, or the power of the Lord, is made present to heal. And he goes into that. Law number five, the healing power of God can be administered to your body in a number of different ways. Law number six, when the healing power of God is administered, you might or might not feel it. Law number seven, the healing power of God can be in you and yet lie within you inactive. Law number eight, once the power has been obtained, keep the switch of faith turned on. Then he goes into what about doctors in here. A great book, great to feed on. It'll feed your faith. Amen. Because there's so many that are not walking in divine health. And there can be a lot of reasons. But the first thing is we have to believe that God's word is the seed, is the word of God. What did the Bible say? He sent his word and did what? Healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So we have to believe that this is the seed of the Lord. This is his word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So the word is God. This is impregnated with his life, his power, and his healing power. What do we say? If we get enough of God's word long enough, it'll heal you. So we all know that there's many different ways that God can reach us with the healing power of God, but the primary way is the Word of God, and that's the primary way that God will heal us, but there can also be, it's the Spirit of God and the Word of God together. And some of the things that, you know, we don't necessarily talk about it much, but there are natural things. You know, in F.F. Bosworth's book, he talks about 21 reasons why people don't receive their healing. And he gets into, you know, things that we've read and studied about, you know, bitterness and unbelief, corporate unbelief, all of these things, not believing the Word of God, or like this, not even believing that it's God's will that you be healed. So there can be a number of reasons why people don't receive healing. And then almost at the top of his list is violating natural laws. So sometimes you know, there can be things that we're doing everything right in one way, but then we're missing it over here in another area. So we have to study all the Word of God and then ask God for Him to do what? To show us how to apply the Word of God. You know, and I always share this story about me because it was revelation to me that, you know, I walked through God, and He has, and up to that point in my life, had healed me supernaturally a number of different ways through the Word, standing on the Word. But then in this one instance, I was standing in pain for a year. I mean, real serious pain. And I remember standing in the shower. You know, I could have missed it. Could have. He said, if you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. And so I had about 6 months. And even that, it took me a while. It took me 2 weeks to get up off of that because I was so convinced of the Word healing me. Well, you know, you can be so convinced of something and miss it because the Holy Ghost is telling you, go get a checkup, go get your check, go get this checked. I know something you don't know, right? And so within 2 weeks, my stomach was turned around. I was violating natural laws. And so sometimes we get, and I want to say get stuck in one way, but we can be stuck in saying, you know, I'm just going to stand on the Word. That's it. I'm standing on the Word. That's good. But then the Holy Ghost will say, buddy, you need to do this. Go over here and do this. And you can get stuck on applying the Word one way, the way you think it should be applied. That's the problem. See, it's not that the Word's not true, and it's not that we shouldn't stand on it, but you're not God. And He knows more about you than you do. And so, yes, we stand on the Word of God. Yes, we believe the Word of God. We believe it. It's true. It's settled in heaven. But then He knows some things that you don't know. And that's why we need to be opened for His direction. Those that are the children of God are led by the Spirit of God. So He will lead us a certain way. It doesn't mean that's going to be my first choice to just run to the doctor. I didn't say that. I said, I'm going to trust and believe God and then leave myself open to be led. See, doesn't mean I don't get a checkup. Doesn't mean I don't do certain things in the natural. I don't know why. Let me get off of this. Anyways, but you understand my point in all of this, that the Word of God is infallible. It will never change. Whether it's a success in your life or my life, or it's not a success. Because we can miss it. Brother Hagin used to say it. He said, I'm a man. I can miss it. I can miss it. And so, we should not, if somebody, you know, goes through something, or let's say somebody passes away, and we said, well, they were believing God. I just don't understand it. Don't touch that. Because the bottom line, you start questioning, well, maybe it's not true. Don't do that. Because the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. And we can miss it. All of us can. We could miss it. We could miss a direction from God. And it could mean maybe, you know, you miss it and you go home to be with heaven. But you still didn't lose. You went home to be with heaven, with Him, right? May not be what God had intended, but you still went home. There's still a victory. Amen. Praise God. So I said all of that to say, get this book. It's a good book. It'll help us. Help us grow in the things of God. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You that Your Word is forever settled in heaven. And Father, we lift up, first of all, even in this setting, we lift up, first of all, men everywhere. We thank You, the Lord of the harvest. Please, we ask You to send laborers anointed with the Word of God anointed in their hearts to share the good news of the gospel. We ask that you send them out into the harvest to share the good news and compel men to come to Christ. Father, we lift up our president and vice president, secretary of state, all our congressmen and congresswomen. We lift them up before you, all of our generals and those that are in the Supreme Court. And we ask, Father, that you direct them, touch their hearts, speak to them, and we ask that you give them wisdom on how to oversee this country and to make the laws so that it will go well with us. And we thank you that that is your will. We're confident that you hear us. And Satan, we bind you and forbid you to interfere in this country and the government of this country. We command you to be still and quiet in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that it's done. Amen. Well, let's share a few scriptures. You can follow along. I guess it ties into what I was just sharing. John 3:16, God so loved. Who loved? God loved. That he did what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish. Well, you know, that also goes in the area of healing. We receive eternal life, where you said, the scripture says, you'll be saved. That word saved is sozo. That means that covers it all. That covers your sin. That covers your sickness. It covers your deliverance from things. We've been delivered from darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. So this said here, he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever what? Believeth. We've got to believe. It's not all his responsibility to do something for us. He did, but then we have to believe. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 14, verse 8, down to 14, it said, Philip saith unto the Lord, Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest then, thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? And the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verse 12, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. So we can see, and also in John 17:21, he talks about the Father in him and he in the Father, and that they're one. So Jesus is the will of God in what? Action. He is the will of God in action. So if you want to see God at work, then look at Jesus. If you want to hear God talk, listen to Jesus. You know, like the radio program we had. So if you look at that, what did Jesus do in his earthly ministry? Look at what Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and what? Healing all those that were oppressed of the devil. So if he's the will of God, and he is the will of God, then it must be the will of God to heal. Right? It has to be the will of God to heal. If he went about doing good and God anointed him, and this is, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, then it's the will of God to heal. regardless of what we see going on, it's the will of God to heal. We have to settle that in our hearts and minds that it is His will to heal. It's God's will to heal. That's just it. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is what? No variableness or shadow of turning. He doesn't change. Even Titus 1, I think it's verse 2, it says, God who what? Cannot lie. He can't lie. So if it was His will to heal and to express Himself through Jesus, His will, and what does Hebrews 13:8 say? Jesus Christ the same yesterday. If He was the same yesterday, if He healed yesterday, then He heals today and what? Forever. If He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if it was His will to heal yesterday, then it's His will to heal when? Today. And it's His will to heal tomorrow and the day after. And it says forever. Hallelujah. So it's His will. That's it. It's God's will to heal. Hallelujah. So healing, as we saw right from the beginning of John 3:16, it's always been in God's plan of redemption to restore, to be the mediator. He sent Jesus to be the mediator, to die. What does it say in Hebrew and Romans? He came in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. So many, and this is what we were sharing before, just touching on this with Doug Jones' book, many do not receive healing because of what? Unbelief. That's really the primary reason, unbelief. May not be the only reason, but it can be. I always like this particular scripture. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 2 is talking about the leper. And he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can makest me clean. Thou can make me clean. And what did Jesus do? He put forth His hand and He said, I will, be thou clean. Some of them, it says, what do you mean if I can? I will. Be thou clean. The Phillips, it said, sir, he said, if you want to, you can make me clean. Jesus stretched out and placed on the leper, saying, of course I want to. Be clean. So it's His will. He wants to heal us. He desires. So then we have to find out how to make that connection. What's the connection? Faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And hearing. I like the Weiss translation says, I'm desiring it from all my heart. So it's the desire of the Father God to heal us. And it was expressed in Jesus' ministry. He was the will of the Father in action. Let's look at a few others, what Jesus said. Because remember, what did He say? He said, the words that I speak are what? Not my words, but the words of the Father. So keep that in mind. Let's look at a few scriptures. I know we look at these periodically, but let's look again. Mark 9 and verse 22 and 23. Remember who speak? This is Jesus speaking, but who is this? This is God the Father speaking through Him. He said, and oft times is talking about it says here in verse 22, and oft times it had cast him into the fire. He's talking about the one who had the spirit, and it says in the water to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, What is he doing? He's trying to locate what he believes. Where is his faith? If thou canst believe, all things are possible to what? To him that believeth. And you know, sometimes, and I say it this way, it's one thing that even Doug Jones said, you know, and again, this book, he probably states it in his book, but even in his teaching on that, he said he would ask people, well, what is the switch of faith? And he would say, well, just keep believing. He said, Believing what? Believing what? What are you believing? Because 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 says, we who have believed, therefore what? Speak. So what you believe, you're going to say, you're going to speak. I believe. You know, I'm going to share this. It was interesting. Last week, I was waking up early. I was early in the morning. I was waking up, and I said to Pastor Greg that as I was getting ready, it was such an overwhelming. It was like an overwhelming his presence, and it was like the best way I can explain it. It was like a rhema, a revelation to me. Maybe to you different, but to me, it was this, and I asked him this question. This is the way it came to me. When you see in the scriptures, Jesus is the great, he was the shepherd. He went out looking for the one, right? But let's look at his ministry where it came to healing. Yes, he laid hands on the sick, but when it came to people that got healed, and this is where I'm kind of hooking up with this. In Matthew, well, I'll make this point. Let's go through these scriptures, then I'll make a point. Matthew, that was Mark chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 and Mark and Luke. It talks about the man with the palsy let down through the roof, and the power of God was present to heal. That's in Luke. But it says what? Jesus saw their faith. He saw faith, right? And then, you know, it says the Pharisees and doctors of the law, this is in Luke chapter 5, verse 17, it says, they were sitting by, which came out of every town in Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of God was present to heal them. That means everybody there. And it says, and when he saw their faith, this is in verse 20, he said unto him, the man, man, thy sins be forgiven thee. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. That word power there is not dunamis. It's exousia. It means authority. He's saying, so that you know that I have the authority to forgive sins, rise up and take up thy bed or couch and be healed. Well, think about it. What through Jesus' ministry, whenever somebody was sick, what did they always say to him? Who sinned? Who hath sinned, right? Because they connected that somebody's sickness was tied to some sin that maybe somebody had done, them or somebody in their family. So that, and he said, neither thy father hath sinned, or what? So he said, so what is he saying here? So that you know that I have the power to forgive sin. Rise up and be healed. Boy, that made them grit their teeth, didn't it? And so he did. Then we can see here in Matthew 8, the centurion, familiar, and he did what? He said, you know, he didn't want him to. He said, my servant is sick, come and be healed. And then what did the centurion say? He said, Lord, I'm not worthy you should come into my house, but just do what? Speak the word, and my servant shall be healed. And Jesus went on to say, you know, I've not seen so great faith, no, not in all of Israel. And Jesus said to the centurion, this is in verse 13, go thy way and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. So the believing was key for receiving. Woman with the issue of blood, same thing here. He said, daughter, be of good comfort. What? Thy faith hath made thee whole. Same with the blind men, two blind men in Matthew 9:29. He touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. So you can walk through these accounts, and faith was tied to their receiving. The power of God was present. He either laid hands on them or spoke. And they did what? They activated, they believed that what he had done, they received it. And it was active, and it was acting in their life. So this is what kind of overwhelmed me the other day, was, and I guess since I can share it in this way because you all are here for healing class, but it overwhelmed me because he said, how many do you see come up and say, if you just lay hands on me right now, I'll be healed. And I went, not many. Most are waiting for God to do something. Am I off base saying that? Most are waiting for God to move in a service on their behalf so that somebody here will lay hands on them to be healed. They're waiting. They're waiting. God's already moved. He's already moved. Every time we assemble, the power of God is present to heal. Some people say, boy, we had church today. Didn't you feel it? So the power of God is present. This is why I say it's good to keep feeding on these truths, because when it dawns on your spirit, you'll say, I got it. I take it. I'm taking it. And it's working in me now. Brother Hagin talks about it. He said when he got up one time, after he got up off the bed of sickness when he was young, he said the whole side of his face had drooped. He said he must have had a stroke. He said, you just get me to the pastor. He said, I'm going to have hands laid on me. And the pastor was a Baptist pastor. He wasn't even teaching on healing. He said he knew the truth of the word. He came in and he said to the pastor, he came up bold after the service because he wasn't laying hands on the sick. He said, just lay your hands on me and I'll be healed. You just lay your hands on me and I'll be healed. That's faith. Because he was convinced that if anyone lays hands on me, I'll be healed. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He said, he did. He said, and he left, and everybody, all his friends were saying, you don't look healed to me. He said, I received my healing. And he said he professed that, and he said over 24 hours, he said the next morning when he got up, his face was normal. It was normal. Because he had a part to play. You can receive, this is what he's saying in the book, you can receive the healing power of God. It can be transmitted into you, and you do nothing with it. And this is the truth. We've got to embrace the truth of God's word, whether I feel it or not. This is faith. This is faith. I have to take God's word as the truth. That's it. If God said it, it's his will for me to walk in health. Then that means that I receive it. What does it say? If the Spirit of God is in you, what does it say in Romans 8? The same Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. And if he dwells in you, then he does what? He quickens. He gives life to my mortal body. I don't have to wait for something. I don't have to wait for a move of God. I just have to reach out and take what's mine. That's faith. That's what Mrs. Hagen shared. I mean, she shared that, you know, when she fell on her tailbone and was in pain. And she said, Pastor Hagen said to her, you just say with your mouth. Just say with your mouth. The healing power of God is in me and working and affecting a healing and a cure in my body. She said that hundreds and hundreds of times during the day. Just kept saying it. And the pain eased up because the doctors told them there's nothing we can do. You have to live with it. She said the pain was excruciating. And said after 3 months, the pain eased up and went away. The Word of God will work if we believe it. That's it. That's just the case. So we talked about the centurion, woman with the issue of blood, the two blind men, the 10 lepers. What does it say? When they were healed, they turned back aloud, glorified God, and he said unto him, arise, go thy way. This is when one came back, and praise God for that. And it said, thy faith hath made thee whole. He's talking about the same with blind Bartimaeus. Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Syrophoenician's daughter, O woman, great is thy faith. Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Even where the woman with the issue of blood, what does it say? When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press, and what did she say? It said she kept saying, King James says she said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. But she kept saying. You know, these areas where healing is concerned, you will have what you say. If you say, this is something the Lord reminded me of lately, I've known it, but he reminded me. He said, how many have said, maybe you're not sick or infirmed, but maybe you're weak. And you say, I'm just so tired. I'm so weak. What does the scripture say? Let the weak think. It says, the weak say, I am strong. And so when we're weak, we need to say, I am strong in the Lord. I am strong in the Lord. I am strong in the Lord. You know, this is where sometimes we, and I'm not including you, I'm including people when I say that. Sometimes we say it once or twice, or three times, or 10 times, and we think, I ain't feeling any stronger. And we start strong, and then we kind of go, and it gets poquito, down to nothing. Say it for 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Keep saying it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. You keep saying, I am strong. I'm strong in the Lord. And you keep doing that for 15, 20 minutes, and I guarantee you, down here, you'll feel a little wheel a-turning, and it'll begin to stir, and you'll begin to do what? It'll stir you to speak stronger and louder. His anointing will come. His power will come. I mean, I've experienced these things, and we all have, but when you feel weak, don't say, I'm weak. Don't say, I'm weak. Say, I'm strong in the Lord. 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 Say what you believe. If you believe you're healed, see, you don't say what you are, you say what you believe. What do I believe? I believe the Word of God. I believe God said for me to say that I'm strong in Him when I'm weak. So I say what I believe. Didn't say what I feel. So I believe I'm strong in the Lord. Didn't say I was. What does it say? Let the weak. So when I'm weak, it didn't say let the strong say I'm strong. It said let the weak say I'm strong. Amen. So when infirmity comes, we need to, and actually not wait until infirmity comes, but we need to speak and say over our bodies and talk to them and speak to them and say, the healing power of God is at work in me. The resurrection life is at work in me. I forbid. Start to say that. Christ hath redeemed me. This is a great confession to say. Just say it. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I forbid sickness and disease in my body. Every tissue, every cell of my body functions in the perfection that God created it to function in. I forbid any malfunction in my body in the name of Jesus, because greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. I've been redeemed from the curse of sickness and disease. And we say that, and some of the things that I'm learning is that we confess the Word of God, we speak the Word of God, but be open for direction. Don't get so stuck and say, well, I'm not doing that, I'm not doing that. I'm not changing my diet because I believe God. I'm just going to pray over my food. You pray over your food, but be open for direction. If He tells you to cut back on something, cut back. If He tells you to lose weight, lose weight. If He tells you to start exercising, start exercising. He knows more about you than yourself. Confess the Word of God, but be open for direction. Amen. So Psalm 107, He sent His Word and healed them and did what? He delivered them from their destructions. Hallelujah. So let's look at a few scriptures concerning healing. Isaiah 53. Let's look at this. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. I'll read from the King James. It said, surely He, he's talking about Jesus, hath borne our griefs. And that word actually in the Hebrews means sicknesses. He bore our griefs or sicknesses and carried our sorrows. And that word actually means diseases. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. The Leeser translation in verse 4, it says, our diseases did He bear Himself, and our pains He carried. While we indeed esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. The Smith, J.M. Smith translation, it says, yet it was our sicknesses that He bore, our pains that He carried. So He bore our sicknesses and carried our pains. Matthew 8:17, this is the verse it's referencing, Matthew 8 and verse 17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. I like some of these other translations. The Moffat translation says, He took away our sickness and our diseases He removed. Not gonna, he removed them. So what do? I believe that. He removed them. He took them and removed them. The New Life Translation says, He took on Himself our sickness and carried away our diseases. I like that. He carried them away. The translator's translation, he says, He took away our illnesses and carried away our diseases. He took them away. So then why do we see what's going on? Because Jesus, this is what we were sharing, Jesus, all power, He holds all power over everything, above all, everything. So we have to believe that and walk in it. And don't let, what are the things? The things that we're wrestling against are principalities and powers and mights and dominions. So the object of His sin-bearing, and this is what we see from 2 Corinthians 5:21, we're talking about any man being Christ, he's a new creature. But the 21st verse, it says, For He hath made Him to do what? Be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So His sin-bearing was that we might be what? Free from sin. So His sickness-bearing was so that we would be what? Free from sickness. That was the purpose. He bore our sins so that we would be made what? Free from sin and be made the righteousness of God. In the scripture we just got done reading Isaiah, it said He took and bore away, He carried away our sicknesses and diseases so that we would be what? Free from them. So that means to me, then, I have to just do what? I have to believe that, receive it, and believe it's working in me. Think about, I'm just thinking of this scripture. What is it in John 15? Stay connected to the vine. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it what? Stay connected to the vine. So we have to stay connected to the vine or stay connected to the Word of God, and that we will bear much fruit. Without Him, we can do nothing. 1 Peter 2:24, whose own self bare our sins and His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes, what, ye were healed. So if I was, then I am. Hallelujah. Most of the other modern translations, you know, the Amplified, it says, by His wounds you have been healed. The easy-to-read version, it says, by His wounds you were healed. So that means if we were, then we are. We have been. So if I was healed, then I am healed. If I was made righteous, then what? I am righteous. I was made righteous. So that means that I've got to begin to believe what? Believe what? Believe that I was healed and begin to not just hope it, not wait for something for God to move, but to take that and say, I was healed. I was healed. Therefore, I am healed. And the healing power of God is working in me now, affecting a healing and a cure in my body. Name your parts, whatever they are. So if you were healed, if you were freed from sin, then you were made righteous. You were made the righteousness of God. We embrace that. Boy, we're quick to embrace that, aren't we? But when sickness and disease come, sometimes we question that, or maybe we don't question it, but we hold on for a while. And that's the piece that I think for me is the part that so often that I see is that people get discouraged with pain and sickness. They can be discouraged. And we need to help and undergird them and speak life into them. We need to. Let's look at one last account here. Let's look at Mark chapter 4. And let's look at the parable of the sower in we could actually read from verses 3 to 8. So we look here that the seed is the Word of God. And really, in this, and when you look at this account, only one in four, when you look at this, he sections off four different situations here, right? And he only says, really, Jesus is saying here, only one in four will actually get the Word of God to work for him. Think about it. Only 25%. It says they're going to catch it. Well, let's read. What does it say? Mark 4, verse 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. That's the first person or the first instance here, right? Here's the second. And some, he's talking about the different kind of seed here, the situations, not different kind of seed. But it says, and some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. See? Wasn't fruitful. That's the second instance, right? Not successful. Here's the third. Verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Third, right? No success. Here's the fourth, and other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. So back to the point, only one in four. One in four were successful. And within that fourth group, there was some 30, some 60, and what? Some 100 that produced. So Jesus already told us in the scripture, not everyone would walk in the light of the Word of God. He already told us that. But we keep sharing the Word of God and trust that the entrance of His Word bringeth light. Right? That's what we do. You can't get discouraged because you don't see people taking hold. Because Jesus already told you, some are going to let the cares of this life choke it. So it says, what does it say? The thorns grew up and choked it. So something was had to have been amiss there. How do thorn? You got to keep feeding something and watering it for it to grow up, right? So what this is showing is that it's not just God's responsibility; it's the hearer's responsibility to do something with the seed sown, right? It's not just God. God sows the word. We come in, we hear the word, we embrace it, but then we have to do something with it. Something is given to us, and then we have to do what? We have to do something with the word that's been sown into our lives. We have to do something. The hearer has to do something. So this is what this is saying here, but it you know, back to what we were saying, it's God's will to heal. It is His will to heal. And the seed of the word is being sown. See, going back to this, 1 and 4, we're saying some fell on what? What does it say here? Fell by the wayside. Some fell on stony ground. Some fell in where the cares of thorns and so forth sprang up and choked the word. So the seed of the word, the will of God, is the word of God. And so it's His will to heal. But then how we hear and what we do with it after we hear, what's the environment of the ground, the heart, where it goes in? How is our minds being renewed? See, so we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have to prove that. We have to do something with what we hear, right? So if we believe what we hear, then we have to speak it and say it. We have to say that. So it's His will. So we have to do what? We have to walk in the light of God's word. So let's take a look at one last scripture here. Proverbs chapter 4, familiar scripture. Just kind of looking at this in the light of the parable of the sower. What does it say in verse 20? My son, do what? Attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them. That means you got to keep searching. You got to keep looking. And what? Health or medicine to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Some of the other translations, the NIV, it says it's life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. The Rotherham, it says, to every part of one's flesh they bring healing. To every part of one's flesh they bring healing. The Knox translation says they will bring life and healing to his whole body. To the whole body. So as we just kind of wrap this up, just let's settle on this, that God's word is the seed, and that seed needs to be planted where? In our hearts, and we need to attend to it, we need to listen to it, we need to meditate on it, and whether we feel something or not, we were healed. Whose own self bore my sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. By his stripes ye were healed. So if I was healed, then I am healed. If I was made righteous, then I am righteous. Not based on how I feel. I am healed. I am the healed. And I need to decree it and say it. And we need to do it more often. In the name of Jesus, we do. Amen. Hallelujah. So again, what do we say? It's God's will for me to walk in divine health. It's God's will for me to be healed, because He already did what he was going to do. Think about that. If he already made us righteous, it says how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have what? Everlasting life. So he loved the whole world. He already credited to every man's account righteousness. He already credited to every man's account healing. It's all been paid for. And all we have to do is say, that's mine. I take it now. Whether you feel better or not, I take what's mine. What does it say? All the promises of God are what? Yea and amen in who? In Christ. I think it says, in him all the promises of God are yea and amen. In the Message, it says, everything is stamped yes in Jesus. It's yes. Healing is yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God.